Okay. What's it called? So as anyone who knows me a little bit knows, I enjoy theoretical sugyas, not practical sugyas. And this is very, very theoretical. So to me, it's a very interesting question, but it's also something where it's one of these areas where if you start pulling the thread, it leads to more and more questions. So we're going to try to take a stab at the area and then recognize that there's a lot of outstanding questions that I think still need to be answered. Okay. All right. Let's go through I just want to go through all the questions first. Okay. Just like everything. And then we can take a step back and try to answer everything. Okay. All right. So the Gemara in Tainis and Choftes Lamed Aleph says, it basically the first part of this Gemara goes through, what do you call it? Kind of trying to justify the historicity of Tisha B'Av. Okay. And basically, it quotes this, it derives it from the Navi, this idea that what happened. So, and I'm not getting into the academic historicity of the destruction of the temple. We're going to use the Gemara's history of it. Okay. So the Gemara here says that what happened on the seventh of Av, they went into the Beis HaMikdash. On the eighth, they ate and acted improperly there. On the ninth, now here's the key thing. On the ninth, close to nightfall, they lit it up to burn it. And then it burnt, what it called, on the 10th. Okay. And the Gemara then says, "V'hainu d'amar of Yochanan il mole ha'yisi b'oso dor." So Yochanan says, "If I were in that generation, now I'm also not going to get into whether this is the first or second temple. Okay, it's not going to make a difference as far as the sugya is concerned. So whatever temple you want it to be." So Rav Yochanan says, "If you were around in that generation, lo kavasiv ela ba'asiri." So he would have set up Tisha B'Av on the ninth. Excuse me, on the tenth. He would have said, "Celebrate Tisha B'Av, so to speak, on the 10th." Why? Because most of the temple, all right, and we'll say Ruo here, I'd say the actual burning took place on the 10th. So just to be a little hyperbolic, in other words, imagine like they lit it up on the 9th, right at Shkia, and then basically the temple burnt the entire tent. Okay. Rabbanan Aschalta Dupurnasa Adipa. But the Chachamim said no. They said that it's better, it's preferable to go ahead and celebrate Tisha B'Av on the ninth, because that's when the bad things started, and that's more important. Okay. So of course, the basic question is, what kind of machlokas is that? And not only, in other words, not only is it a question like, what's the machlokas, meaning why should you choose one over the other, but I would argue that the tenth seems to be a more compelling argument. I'll give you an example. Okay. Let's take the example I was using when I prepared this is 9/11. I think it's a great example. Sorry, Alex. I know I'm very American, what do you call it, egocentric. But anyway, it's like 9/11. All right. So in other words, imagine I told you that like we're gonna celebrate 9/11 on the 8th. Why? Because let's say that's when the planes took off. Okay. Let's pretend for a second the planes took off on the 8th. You would say it's crazy. The destruction of the towers took place on 9/11. That's when it took place. So what's Aschalta d'Pornassa? Like, what do I care that the tragedy or whatever the bad thing started then? Now, who cares? The actual historical event of the burning of the temple was on the 10th, not the 9th. The 9th was simply when the burning started. So we're going to have to answer that question. Okay, what's the machlokas? Okay, what's the machlokas? So that's the first question on the table. Okay, next question. So the Gemara in Megillah says, a very famous Gemara, it says, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina. So there's a bunch of things that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi did that were problematic. Okay, and one of them was, if you look at the second line, it says, Ubikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av. So what did he want to do? He wanted to, now this is very difficult to understand. He wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, Veloho Dulo. But the Chachamim said no. Okay. So why do you want to get rid of Tisha B'Av? What kind of thing is that? But now it's interesting. The Gemara rejects his Havamina. The Gemara says, Amar Lefana of Rebbe Abba Bar Zivda, Rebbe Lo Kacha Yamaisa. So he says, that's not what actually happened. Rather, what happened? Ela Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos Haba. Rather, one year, Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos. And what do they do? What do the Chachamim do? The Chachamim, as we know, as you paskin today, when Tisha B'Av comes on a Shabbos, we celebrate it on the 10th, which would be Sunday. The Rebbe said, no. He says, hold on. So Rebbe said, that's crazy. Rebbe says that if the 9th of Av comes out on Shabbos, so what should we do? That's it. That year, you don't have Tisha B'Av. That's it. You just can't do it. Okay. But the Chachamim, for whatever reason why, said no. They said that we're going to go ahead and celebrate it on the 10th. So, of course, we have to understand, A, what's the Havamina Maskana on the Gemara? I mean, the Gemara actually plays with the Havamina that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av Lagamre, which is a very, very crazy possibility. And B, what's now the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Meaning Rebbe wants, in version one, Rebbe wants to get rid of Tisha B'Av, and the Chachamim say no. In the second version, Rebbe wants to say that if Tisha B'Av falls on a Shabbos, you don't just don't have Tisha B'Av, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. That's the second set of questions. Okay? So far, so good? Yep. Okay.
Hey,
Next.
I want to ask
Yes.
one about the date in which we celebrate. Like, use their 9/11 example, but in 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series, the game started on November 3rd, but it was November. By the time it ended, it was November 4th in Cleveland, but we still celebrate in Chicago. It was November 3rd in Chicago, but we still celebrate November 3rd as. But they actually won
Interesting.
November.
Right. We have to understand why. Especially if you told me, let's say the game started at 11:59, right? So most of the game was played in the fourth. It's very odd. Why would you celebrate the third? You should celebrate the fourth. You have to explain that. I mean, I can't explain the Chicago Cubs thing, but I think the notion of when the majority or the essential historical event takes place on a certain day, that's when you celebrate it. You don't just because some of it started the day before, why should that make a difference? All
You're
right, we'll come
saying
back to
most
that. We'll come back to
just
that. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Okay. Next, you have the Gemara Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi expands the Bava. It combines two points of the Bava together, so to speak, and expands it a bit. So the Yerushalmi says, Rav Yerushalmi Rav Chiya bar ba bedin haya. So he says that it makes, in other words, legally speaking, bedin haya. You misanin ba'asiri. So he's saying, logically speaking, we should fast on the 10th. Shabbos Nisraf Beis Elokeinu, because that's the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So he goes further. He didn't forget the business of the fire started, right? He's saying that's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Or the day it was destroyed was the 10th. I know there's a prevalent Ashkenazi practice to extend some of the Avelos into the 10th because the temple was still burning. But that's incorrect. The actual burning of the temple took place on the 10th. The Yerushalmi says so. The Yerushalmi says, V'lama b'tshi, so why in the 9th? Right. So look at the tone in the Yerushalmi versus the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is coming out and saying that it's you got to come up with a very creative reason to justify celebrating Tisha B'Av on the 9th, right? Because the 10th makes perfect sense. So the Gemara says, so why the 9th? Shabbos is Tchilas Pranos. So that's just like the Bavli. That's when the bad thing started. And then it quotes the same thing that on the 7th, they went into the Heichal, et cetera, et cetera. Now listen to this. Then the Gemara continues. God love the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, tsiyem tshiya v'asiri. So what did he do? He fasted both days. Okay. Rav Avon tsiyem tshiya v'asiri. He also fasted both days. And Rav Levi tsiyem tshiya v'leil asiri. And Rav Levi fasted the ninth, and let's say the night of the 10th. But I don't care about specifically why he does only the night of the 10th. It's just interesting that you see these Amoraim went ahead and kept 2 days of Tisha B'Av. We have to understand why. And then the Gemara says, Rebbe bar Zivda b'shem Rav Chanina, Bikesh Rebbe lakor Tisha B'Av, as we saw from the Bavli. He wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, l'nichalo, amar lo Rebbe, Elazar, Imcha, I was with you. Velois Amr Sacha, you didn't say this. Rather, Elabikesh, Rebbe Lach, Kartishva, Shachadas, and Yukolo, Amr Hovind, and Yitka, Amr Lo, Yitka, Lamachar. So, same machlokas as the Bible. Okay. But I think what this does is that it really emphasizes the problem of why we should celebrate Tisha B'Av on the 9th. Okay. Finally, you have the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which is a good background Gemara, and then we'll do Tosfos, and then the Ritva, and then that's enough for the facts. Okay, I know it's a lot, but it's the best way to approach this. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, okay, tells us is a very also very important Gemara. The Gemara cites the Navi, and this is where we get the four fast days from, because it says, "My dichsev koamar shem tzvakos tzomar avi tzom chamishi tzom shvi tzom asiri yela beis yudol sason simcha." So as we know, it's a famous idea. The four fast days, okay, the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month, right? Those are going to be transformed into festive days. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Kari Lahu Tzom, the Kari Lahu Sasa Masimcha. So the Navi calls on the one end their fast days, and the other days they're happy days. So what does that mean? Bizman She Shalom Yulu Sasa Masimcha, Ain Shalom Tzom. This is a very important idea. A lot of people don't realize this about these four fast days. So in the times of peace, right, you don't have the fast days anymore. This is not talking about the Messianic era. Like today, right, today, for example, we would not have these fast days anymore. But when there's no peace, we still fast. And Republic
Boy,
goes further.
isn't Israel currently not really at peace with itself?
Don't read everything that you see in the newspaper. So And also, by the way, Shalom here means, by the way, if you're underneath the what it called, a non-Jewish government, that's evil. Okay, just if you want to go through the sugya. The Republic comes along and says, Hakikamar, Bizmanshi, Shalom, Yilsa, Simcha. So when we're at peace, happy days. Yeshmud, if we're underneath the, what do you call it, the sovereignty of an evil emperor, let's say, we have to fast. Now here comes this, Yosef, this is your point. Ein Shmud, Ein Shalom, if it's a neutral time, meaning we're not under the rule of an evil guy, but we're not quite at peace. Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Emisanin. So these 4 days, it's important to emphasize this. The four fast days were never instituted as real Derabbanan fast days. Rather, it was kind of optional. Meaning, if there was, it's all based on the period of time you live in. And it's amazing that the Gemara says that in a time of neutral, right, a neutral period of time, so then it's up to you whether you want to fast. Now the Gemara says, E hachi, if that's true, Tisha B'Av Nami. So why doesn't the same thing apply by Tisha B'Av? And now, again, it's funny, the Gemara assumes that Tisha B'Av has to be treated differently, right? Meaning you don't have the option whether you want to or not fast on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, Amar Papa, shiny Tisha B'Av. Why Tisha B'Av different? Hol v'huchvulu bot saras. Okay, because there were multiple tragedies that took place on Tisha B'Av. Amar Mar, but Tisha B'Av, Chara v'bayis, Berisha v'shnia, v'nilchada beitzar, v'nechrasha ir. Now, of course, we're not going to take this up, but there's the famous question on Shiva Sarva Tammuz and Asar v'tevis. There also were multiple tragedies. Let's put that to the side. So the Gemara is saying, since there's a lot of things that happen on Tisha B'Av, that's why it's not an optional fast day. Okay. Everyone understand that? Good. So Tosfos comes along.
Rabbi,
Yeah.
doesn't it say in Eicha that Tisha B'Av will become a moed?
Sure. And yet,
So.
but like Gabi, let's go even further. Forget Eicha. Okay. How about this? The halacha is that we send out shluchim. Messengers are sent out to the people, right, to let them know that Tisha B'Av is coming. We send them out for Rosh Hashanah. We send them out for Sukkos. We send them out for Pesach. And we send them out for Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av somehow, right, even though you're right, even though it's supposed to be, at some point, should be turned into a day of Sus and a Simcha, it's treated as if it's like a Yantav, because we send out Shluchim for it. We have to understand. But here's the question. If you're telling me that all along, the very notion of it being on the ninth of Av seems to be a very, very, I'd say, flimsy rationale, right? And you see from the Gemara, it's pretty clear that it should be a Ratzu. So then why would that be the case? So we'll come back to that, okay? All right. So a little bit more, right? And then I promise I'll stop. The Tosfos, okay, Tosfos asks a good kasha. So if you recall, we saw back in the Gemara says that Rebbe wants to get rid of Tisha B'Av. So Tosfos says, Kasha, the high Tana, the Rebbe, how he wrote the Lakra Tisha B'Av the Gemara. So he says, you got to be insane to actually consider for a second that Rebbe actually wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av Legamrei. Now, listen to this. Now, because I don't think it's such a crazy question. I think it makes sense why you'd want to get rid of it. But the Gemara says, Vaha Amrinan, listen, his reasons are great. Vaha Amrinan, Kol Ha'ochol V'Shosa B'Tisha B'Av, Eino Ro'a B'Nechama Shu Yishalayim. So Tosfos' first proof for his kasha is from, like, I'd say, almost an agadic type of Gemara that says, anyone who eats or drinks on Tisha B'Av will not see the comfort of Yerushalayim, meaning you will never see Yerushalayim be rebuilt. Okay? I don't understand. So how is that a good proof of his kasha against Rebbe? I want to understand that. Because it's a very nice idea, like you're a bad person if you ate on Tisha B'Av, right? But how is that a kasha or a basis for a kasha of Rebbe wanting to get rid of Tisha B'Av? One sounds like a halachic issue, and one sounds like a philosophical issue. And then he says, the ode, the second reason, the other reason, which seems to be a more, I'd say a more precise reason, is that a Beis Din, right, can't be mevatel, can't nullify its fellow courts, right, unless it's greater in wisdom. Okay, implying obviously that Rebbe was not greater in wisdom, which is fine. But the question is, what exactly are we talking about here that Beis Din created you be mevatel? Okay, so we'll have to come back to that. The Tosfos' answer, he gives two answers. Vishlomar, first one, the lo ratzal akro, right? It wasn't that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av legamrei, ella mechumra sheyesh bo yoser mishar taniyos. Rather, what he wanted to do was he wanted to, which I'm sure people will be happy about, he wanted to get rid of all the extra things that they added to the tainus of Tisha B'Av. For example, sitting on the ground or the suda mafsekes, or no rechitza, all the things that are unique to Tisha B'Av, more so than Shiva Sarva Tammuz, for example, he wanted to get rid of. So, of course, the question is why? Why would he want to get rid of those? Inami, the second answer. Yeshlomar derutzal akro mitashi yilakava basiri. No, what did he want to do? He wanted to be the rational guy to take it from the ninth and make it on the tenth. Kedamar Yochanan ilu havay hasam kavasiu kavasei basiri. He wanted to change the date. Okay. Well, why would he want to do that? Why would Rebbe want to change the date from the ninth to the tenth? And why does Tosfos have two answers? Okay, it's good. It's a powerful question. This whole Tosfos is very difficult. His kasha is a funny kasha because it's like he's offended by it. The basis is for his kasha aren't so strong. And the two reasons he gives are, we need to explain, because in each one is a different machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And if you haven't had enough yet, the Ritva comes along and he's a very funny guy. The Ritva says like this. He says, we'll go through real quickly. He says, Amash Ratzel Lakar Tishba. His parish Petosvo, Shalom Ratzel Lakar Lagamre, right? It wasn't that, according to Tosfos, it wasn't that he wanted to get rid of it completely. El Kavo Ba'asiri Obi Yadal. Rather, he wanted to change it to either the 10th or 11th. But 1 second, Tosfos never says the 11th, right? Tosfos says the 10th. Where does the Ritva get this idea that Tosfos is thinking that Rebbe wanted to change it to the 11th? Why? Mishum de Kaimelon de Tisha B'Av ain't a Tali Baratzel, right? Because the assumption is that the 9th of Av is not based on whether we want to accept it or not. That's from the Gemara. Rather, there were lots of disasters that happened that day. And that's why they sent messengers out. And if that's true, how could Rebbe ever oker Tisha B'Av? Okay, so he's fusing Tosfos' kashas together. Okay, but keep in mind that point of how he says that Tosfos thinks that Rebbe wants to change it to the 11th. That's a very strange idea. So the Ritva says no. The lawyer writes the sof daitam. I don't buy this at all. Vimkin, I feel okra le Assyria o le Yodalef lo yakol. Because if Rebbe wanted to change the date, he couldn't change it at all. That's considered oker. Okay, you can't just change a date. The kaven should be shown him kavu b'tishavav. Because once we shown him made on the ninth of Av, afbezeh yesh mishum bittel deri beis chavero. That alone, that modification would be an uprooting of what the courts had done. That's the case by Megillah. Not only that, also the fact that the Gemara's maskana is that all along Rebbe didn't really want to be okra, but rather, what do you want to do? He wanted to suspend Tisha B'Av that year because it fell on Shabbos. Not just way of reading the Gemara is that Rebbe did want to get rid of it completely. And that the maskana of the Gemara is that no, he only wanted a temporary suspension, meaning it's impossible to read the Gemara that in the Havamina that Rebbe didn't want to get rid of Tisha B'Av. He did. Because the Gemara's answer is he didn't want to get rid of it completely, he just suspended for the year. But for some reason, Tosfos can't read it that way. Okay? So the Ritva says, so according to the Ritva, the Rebbe Haya wrote to Lakor Tisha B'Av Kagon Yudzayim B'Tammuz. The Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av like Yudzayim B'Tammuz. Right? Did Shura Sadin and Hefresh B'Nayim Exeris Nevi'im. Because if you look at the Psukim in the Navi, there is no difference between any of the four fast days, okay? Ushaloka Divrei Rishonim Zal to Ratzel Okra, Ushalosanas Mokla, right? Ella Ratzel Okra Levata Men Rechitzim Sihil Kulodine the Chomartanis. Rather, what do you want to do? You want to get rid of the extra stringencies of Tisha B'Av, okay? The Chacham Lahodolo was that. The Chacham didn't agree, the Shil Fisha Hokfa Levot Saras, Vein Roy Lano Lahakabo, and therefore we have no right to be lenient. Afal Pish Efshar came Exeris Nevi'im Baratzu, even though we could because of what's written in the Nevi'im, meaning, truthfully speaking, there's no chiyuv for us to keep these extra humras, right? Because based on the gzeret neviim, it's a ratzu. Tisha B'Av should be a ratzu as well. Rather, the pious Jews did not want to be makel about this, and that's why shluchim will go out versus other taniyos. So really, it's kind of optional for us, according to the Ritva, in Rebbe's way of learning, to even keep these stringencies of Tisha B'Av. But nonetheless, what do you call it? Shluchim were still sent out. Okay. There's a lot to define here, right? This might be too much, right? So we have the machlokas 9th versus 10th, okay? Which I think is a very important machlokas to define. No? I mean, I assume everyone's going to be celebrating Tisha B'Av. And yet the Gemara seems to say, certainly Yerushalmi, that it makes more sense to celebrate the 10th versus the 9th. That's number one. Number two, we have, we have the question of the Havin Maskana in the Gemara, where the Havin is that Rebbe wants to get rid of Tisha B'Av Lagamre. Doesn't give us a reason why, by the way. We got to speculate on that a bit. But he wants to get rid of Tisha B'Av Lagamre, meaning, what do you call it? meaning he wants to get rid of the ninth of Av. And then the maskana is that no, it was just the case was it came out on Shabbos. So you have Tosfos' version, which is that there's no way Rebbe could ever suggest to get rid of Tisha B'Av Lagamrei. Right? I don't know why that's such a big deal. And he says, and he gives this philosophical idea why, and then this halachic idea why, and then he gives us two answers. One, that he wants to get rid of the chumras, the second, that he wants to transfer to a different day. And then the ritual comes along and slams Tosfos' approach and says, no, really, Rebbe did want to get rid of Tisha B'Av Lagamrei, but at the end of the day, he relented and agreed that only for that year there would be docha from Shabbos. A lot to explain, but I don't think it's that complex. I think there's one or two basic ideas that will answer this. One second. According to in the Hami, the Gemara, and Ritva, yeah, they would be optional. That's correct. But that's what Ross's question. But the thing is that what we have to answer is that, well, whatever. I don't want to give anything away. So let's take up the first machlokas. Why should Tisha B'Av be on the 9th and why should be on the 10th? Let's start with that. And if I ask you, doesn't it make more sense to celebrate it on the 10th? Because that's when the actual historical destruction took place, not on the 9th. The 9th was, they lit the flame. It started burning. Great. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying, okay. But the actual event, think about 9/11. The event took place on the 10th. Sorry, commemorate.
Well, the July 4th, which took place on July 2nd.
Okay.
It's a question of like where like the real emotional epicenter is, right? Okay. Like, because on the 7th, it was like the inciting incident, and that's like really where like kind of the tragedy comes in for most people. Then yeah, you would think to like celebrate the 9th because of that.
If I don't understand, in other words, if you ask the average person, okay, let's again using 9/11, okay, let's say you told people, listen, the planes took off on 11 p.m. on September 10th, okay? Okay, so you can argue the beginning of the destruction took place at that point. The actual destruction took place on September 11th. That's when the towers were hit and they fell down. No one would ever say, let's commemorate 9/11 on what it called? The 10th. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's like a post-facto explanation, right? Like, if like the real emotional core of how people remember like the events happening, you know, it was more emotional and tragic on that day, then yeah, you'd think celebrate on the other day, right?
Right.
Like, regardless of
exactly.
What the events itself.
Right.
No.
Right. Why would you? I don't understand. The event didn't take place until the 10th, okay? That's the Gemara's facts. So why would you ever celebrate it on the 9th? What's a skala de pornasa? Okay, so the bad thing started that day.
Right.
But that's not what people are affected by, okay? People are affected by the actual event itself. You know what I mean? That's what you commemorate. You commemorate the historical event. You don't say, you know what, listen, it started the day before. What's a skala de pornasa? There's got to be some step we could take to give the Chachamim like a basis for why they insisted on being on the 9th.
I was just gonna say, you don't necessarily do it on the day itself. You do it on the day that's most of the memory most stands out. Like I said, independence was declared on July 2nd, not July 4th.
That's true. Okay. I'm not saying every day works out this way. I'm just saying, okay, how about this? In other words, all the other things we fast for are all commemorate the actual events themselves, right? We don't say on Asar B'Teves, we'll fast on the 9th because that's when all the siege weapons were put in place. No, we do it when the actual siege started or when they broke through the walls. I don't understand. Give me an argument for what's Haskalah de Pornasa. Because if you're talking about if we commemorate the Chorban HaBayis, the Chorban, the destruction of the temple took place on the 10th.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't there multiple things that we're mourning that happened on the same day? Right,
fine,
there are like
that,
five events.
But that's not no, but that's not Koveya the Tinus. Do you remember the Navi? Where do we get the idea of this Tinus from? The Navi. All the Navi says is that there are four fast days. Okay, the Navi never tells anything about the other events that took place. And but yes, it's true. The Gemara then tells us, by the way, based on our Torah Shabbat Peh, there were other things that happened that day, 100%. I'm just saying, if you take it in its natural form, what I would say is the Koveya of the Tinus is the Korban. You would never have a tinus for the fact that B'nai Yisrael didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, or the edict was given on the ninth above.
Then we have a reason to switch the Koveya to the initial like starting point rather than to the event itself actually happening, because we want it to coincide with the other things that we want to commemorate as well on that day, no?
Really? But here's the question. On Asar Bateves, right, we commemorate the siege, right? But guess what? We commemorate two other events that didn't take place on the 10th of Av. The 9th, I think, Ezra died, and the 8th was a translation, was a Septuagint. So those things, we mash them into the 10th and say, you know what? Even though they didn't historically take place then, we do it, we commemorate them on the 10th of Tavis. You're still not answering the question. You're really trying to tell me that it makes more sense to commemorate it on the 9th when it began? What's the Gemara telling us by Haskalah de Parnassa?
Wait, could it be because the 10th could be on a Friday, like this year, and it will lead into Shabbos? Is that in consideration at all? Is that like
completely, no? That's completely irrelevant.
Okay.
I think this is a valid question. It's a basic question. Why do we commemorate the? And by the way, it's such a strong question. See, the guys who are like trying to defend the 9th, remember, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says bedinhu, meaning if we were going to set this up as a historical commemoration, then of course it would be on the 10th, because that's when the base of Mikdash was destroyed. The Yerushalmi makes it clear that logically speaking, and again, obviously in the way I'm prefacing the question, the answer is in there, which is that if it's simply a commemoration of a historical event, it's got to be on the 10th. So then justify why, what's Haskalah de Parnassa? Like, what's the idea? That's all the facts, by the way. No one else expands on what that means. What's Haskalah de Parnassa? Why are we commemorating on the 9th when the actual historical destruction took place on the 10th? Eli Roth?
I joined late. I'm reading the sources now.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could, what do you call it? And by the way, we could be like this Amorayim, who fasts both days, right?
I don't like that option. I haven't read the sources, but I don't like that option.
Well, some of our Amorayim did, so. It's just such a basic question. How do you answer this? How do you answer this? We can use 9/11, by the way. We can use it. Okay, so what's the function of a tinus? Let's start with that. Because if the tinus is simply there to commemorate the historical event, then it's got to be on the 10th. And by the way, I would even argue that it would be a more successful, I guess, for the average Jew, a successful commemoration if it actually took place on that day. Meaning, if we're commemorating the destruction of the temple the day it took place, that makes a lot of sense. The 9th is a chiddush. But in my opinion, it must be revealing one of the objectives of what a tinus is, or the primary objective, and that makes more sense on the 9th.
You could say a fast like is essentially like a reaction to like tragedy. So whenever it starts kind of like sniffing out the tragedy, that's when the tanit would start like taking effect essentially. So if this started on the 9th, even if the main part of it took place on the 10th, well, the reaction will still happen in the initial. In the initial thing. So that would be on the 9th. So that's why it would be on the 9th, is because that's the initial reaction.
Okay, but why is that stronger than the 10th? Meaning, if I know that's the day the event took place, like for instance, like Pearl Harbor, okay? The day that lives in infamy, that day is the day that we celebrate. The fact that the Japanese were flying, we don't care about the day before that they were flying over to bomb Pearl Harbor. We would say that,
well, because that's again, different,
you're still too focused on the historical aspect of it. You're saying, historically speaking, it began before. Okay, but why does that matter?
I'm saying the halacha is different than the way that we commemorate things normally, because a tanit isn't just a commemoration.
That's not true, because Yitzayim B'Tammuz is on the 17th.
Yeah, but there's no process to speak of the 17th that happened before the 17th. It's sure just the 17th.
You know what happened on the 16th? They had all their weapons in place, and I guarantee there was banging on the walls. It didn't take a second to break the walls down.
Rabbi, what
but that's not the beginning of the event.
There's got to be something different about a tinus that would mandate it being done on the 9th. What is it? Well, that's not the
beginning
of
the event. The beginning of the event is the destruction itself. Or,
we don't commemorate, but why would you commemorate the beginning of an event? You commemorate the event, especially when most of the events.
Maybe it's about commemorating the last time that we could have turned our situation around. So okay, it's so about the action that we could have taken.
There's a temptation to go down that road. I hear that. I thought of that initially. I'm like, okay, well, is this another one of those, like, well, we still had another chance to change things around, you know? That's like the Shiva Sarvatama's idea and a Sarva. You could say that, right? That there still was a chance, but it's hard. Once they light it up, like what? Like we have like fire extinguishers handy and we could, turn things around. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. But what's the function of a tinnitus? Let's get a more basic question.
Could do tshuva before we get to that anniversary.
Forget the second half. Let's take the first half. To do tshuva as a catalyst to tshuva. Okay. So we have to ask ourselves, so why would it be, if the function of a tinnitus, it's not, I'm not saying there's no idea of commemoration of history, because if that weren't the case, then it wouldn't matter if it was just Zayim HaTamos or not. Rather, there must be another core aspect of tinnitus, which is that it is a catalyst for tshuva. So now the question is, why is the ninth when the Purana starts? Why is that the better time for the tinnitus to function as a catalyst for tshuva?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, to go back on what I was saying before, I wasn't saying it more from the historical perspective. Like we could have extinguished the embers before everything went up in flames, but more that the Beit HaMikdash beginning to burn kind of symbolizes the beginning of the end of our relationship with God and the end of what we religiously
done. I don't deny that, right? But again, I could argue that if I'm thinking about the burning of the temple, right? If I picture that in my head, right, it being destroyed, right, which is happens on the 10th, I would argue that can evoke even more emotion. Thinking about the temple being burned, our relationship with God is destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that it started the night before, so what? So what is it about the fact that language of the Gemara is Haschala de Purnasa, meaning the bad event started.
Rabbi, could it be going back to the idea of tshuva? Yeah, but by the time the event has happened on the 10th, there's too much devastation and for us to actually be able to do tshuva. Whereas at the beginning of the event, where it hasn't fully hit us yet, there we're still able to do tshuva, able to repent before it gets too
bad. But we have to, but it's also for us to do tshuva. We have to do tshuva. It's got to be catalyst for us.
I think the 2.0 which could be more when the armies have already taken the city, not at some vague post effect time. So by the time the armies are already inside the city, that sounds a bit too late already to me.
Agree. Let's understand something. The moment the flame is lit on the temple, let's make this easy assumption. That's it. Laws of nature take over and it'll be destroyed. Okay. It's inevitable. So, but what is it about the fact that has started happening? Why would that have a greater impact on our ability to do tshuva? Yes, Eli Roth.
There's no raising the hand.
I saw that. I saw it. But, and you had to mention it too, by the way, that you raised your hand on Zoom. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're not actually remembering the base image that's getting burned down, at least directly. What we want to remember is all the bad maisim that we did that, earned us our base image just getting burned down. And at least to me, the moment where I assume we realized that we screwed up was when the base image just started burning down. I mean, the finishing obviously happened. But once the base image just started getting down, that's when like, oh man, we really screwed up. We should not have done all the bad things we did. And then, that's going to really stir our hearts to do tshuva.
Okay.
I just still confused again. And not when the armies have taken the city, enslaved your people, and
I'll tell you why. I think Ellie's right. See, Ellie's learning the word Quranus when it's used in the Gemara doesn't just refer to, let's say, like a terrible rainstorm. Quranus always means that there's some change in our relationship with God. It's always a divine revelation concept, divine providence concept. That's what Quranus means. I think what Ellie's saying is like this. So Ellie's saying that, in other words, I would just add one thing to what you're saying, or as the starting point, which is that the thing that should be most shocking to us, and would answer Yossi's question, is the very fact that the base of Mikdash could be destroyed. Okay? Meaning, the fact is, this is the bias, this is the place, so to speak, for God's presence to be felt, and the Or L'Goyim, all those wonderful things, right? The very notion that such a thing could be destroyed, right, such that the presence of God would no longer be felt in the world in the same way, through, as Ellie's saying, our actions, right, or lack thereof, is something that should be extremely shocking for us. In other words, and I'll give you the 9/11 example that fits in perfectly here. for those who were, you know, I guess you're too young, but when 9/11 happened, okay, there were two things that people were affected by. Two things, okay? The easy one was the destruction of the towers. But that's not what the real, so to speak, psychological impact was. You know what the psychological impact was? You know what freaked people out like crazy? Our vulnerability. That's what really got people. It was the fact that how could America, this incredibly powerful country, be subject to such an event? It was absurd to suggest such a thing. And of course, the result of that's been the TSA and all the other Patriot Act, et cetera. But the point is that there was a certain like disbelief that we could ever be subject to such a destructive act. So I think that's what Chazal is trying to catch here by Tisha B'Av, meaning that we should be shocked, disgusted, all those other types of words at the fact that such an event could take place. And Yosef, even if the armies were in Yerushalayim, at the end of the day, this is still the temple of God, Beis Elokeinu, as the Yerushalmi says. How could it be that such a thing could be subject to destruction? So I think what Ellie's saying is that, although if I'm going too far, Ellie, let me know, is that that's going to put us in the correct framework of tshuva, okay? It's not just the physical destruction of the temple, right? That's one aspect. It's the fact that because of our actions and our relationship to God, that's what allowed for such an event that should never have been able to take place. That's why I think Tisha B'Av is the koveh. But that's why it's a good machlokas, because it doesn't mean that the historicity isn't valuable also. The four tzomos that are brought down in the Navi are all tied to historical events. So it's not like the historicity is an invalid argument. It's a machlokas. But you see the other side as well. It sounds like there's two components to tainus. This kind of tainus is the historical commemoration, but it's also its function as a catalyst for tshuva. That's why the Amoraim would fast both days, because they saw both of them have value. There's both the catalyst for tshuva aspect, which is how could such a thing take place? How could we have acted in a manner to for such a result to take place? And then there's the actual historical event itself. Both of them have value. And I think that's why both are, what do you call it, are presented in the Gemara as the Amoraim following them. Okay? Is that good, Ellie?
That sounds good to me. I mean, I think you added more than what I said, but I'll take credit.
Yeah. But I think that's the main point. Okay.
But then why would you choose one over the other? Like, what's compelling you in either way?
Oh, so that's the thing. So the Chazal, it's an excellent question. It's interesting because you see that the fact that the Amoraim in the Yerushalmi, would fast both days show you that they show both are equal, right? It's a good question. What compels you over the other? Let's get back to that. I'm going to come back to that question. I think if we dig further into Tosos, we can see an answer to that. Let's just jump at the Tosos for a second. The Tosos wants to say that Rebbe could not have even imagined being Oker. Let's just take out the Machlokas this way. Tosos says there's no way Rebbe could want to be Oker Tisha B'Av. It's impossible, right? Rather, and why? Because of the idea of us eating and drinking on Tisha B'Av, we won't see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Nechama of Yerushalayim, okay? Which is a very weak proof for his kasha. And that's like an agadic statement, you know? And the second point is much more technical, that you can't be mevata what a Beis Din does. Okay, fine. What's Tosos' reason there? But the Ripa says no. The Ripa says there's no reason to say that Rebbe didn't want to be Oker or Tisha B'Av, okay? Because it's a Ratzu day, meaning it's no different than what it called Shavuos Arba Tamuz. What's that machlokas? That's really what I get into. What's the machlokas between the Ritva and Tosos? If you get that machlokas down, everything else becomes much easier to answer. Tosos says there's no way Rebbe wants to be Oker Tisha B'Av the Gamre. It's impossible. Rather, what do you want to do? Whatever, let's either change a day or remove the chumras. And that's the Havin and the Gemara. But the Ripha says no. The Ripha says that you really want to be Oker Legamre. What do you mean? What does it mean, Oker Legamre? And what's pushing? What's the Ripha saying? What's Tosos saying? It's a tough question.
Wait, just factually, what's Tosos doesn't like it because they're not God of Bechach of a minion.
That's the second reason. The first reason is because the Gemara in Tainus says, if anyone eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, you won't see the Nechama of Yerushalayim. So how could Rebbe want to be Oker and Tisha B'Av Lagamre?
Yeah, but for the second reason, I'm assuming the Ritva must argue on both.
I think the Ritva has a completely different premise, and that's what leads them to argue on both. The second answer is that how could Rebbe be Mevato what another Beis Din did? He had to be greater.
Right, that's the Ritva's response to that. I mean, it could be that he just was, but
I don't want to give anything away. He doesn't answer that directly, but I think his approach will answer it.
Maybe it's okay. It's a question of like whether you're modifying the day or whether you have like uprooted the day entirely. Meaning, well, like according to
No, that's good. It's good. Meaning that I understand. Meaning that according to Tosfos, if you change the day, right, that's not uprooting it entirely. Whereas the Riffa would say changing the day per se uproots it. But I don't understand. In other words, but why wouldn't that be the case? It sounds like if the day is set as the 9th, you can't change it. You can't change it to the 10th. How's that not Okra Legamre? The Riffa's Kasha and Tosfos is a powerful Kasha. Why is that not Okra Legamre?
Oh, because you still, like, it meaning you're still keeping the core idea behind it, and you're still, the thing that you're trying to achieve is still taking place. It's just taking place through, like, a different method. But that doesn't mean that inherently that's uprooted the thing in and of itself. It's a question of whether the date is really, like, central to the idea.
That's kind of strange because let's say I told you I'm going to change the Seder to Tes Zion, Nisan. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. Once you change the day, the day's lost its significance. Yeah, Yosef.
I do. Because the decree was Somha and Chamishi. It was on the month. So okay. It's not bringing because the decree was just on the month. Isn't all. The decree was that, I guess the text in the Pesukim Yirmiyahu reflects the decree, ergo the decree was on the month, not on the day.
By the way, so that's an excellent observation. I was going to bring that up later. But it's interesting. The process here that took place is that the Navi never says the days of these fast days. It just says there's going to be a fast in this month. It's interesting. It's up to Chazal to work out from the Navi what those days are. We'll come back to that, Yosef. That's a good observation. I agree with that. But what's the machlokas between the Ritva and Tosfos? Let's understand something. In other words, if you look at the words of the Navi, okay, it says Tzom X, Y, X, A, B, C, D, right? Four Tzomos, different months, okay? I would argue that there's two ways to understand what the Navi means, okay? Or let me reframe that. What we can halachically derive from what the Navi's saying. What's interesting about the Navi saying? Is there any difference between the four Tzomos? If you look at the words of the Navi, none, right?
Not in the Navi.
What?
Not in the Navi.
Not in the Navi, right? The Navi makes no reference, allusion, nothing at all to any difference between Shavuos, Arba Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, blah, 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 blah. Now, the Gemara does come along and say, but one second, Tisha B'Av, Hukbul B'Av, Saros, right? And that's why we have to be more careful about keeping Tisha B'Av. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like the Navi ever alludes to an intrinsic difference between the Taniyos. They're all the same, right? Okay, so why does that help us understand the machlokas between the Ritva and Tosfos? And I would argue this is also Rebbe's understanding, meaning I have a good svar for what I think Rebbe's approaching. Let's just deal with that. How is Rebbe approaching Tisha B'Av versus the Chachamim? Let's frame it that way. What's he saying? If he's gonna be ochre it, right? So how is he approaching it?
He's saying that exactly what we've just established from the Navi, that the Tisha B'Av isn't any different from any of the other Tzomot. Whereas presumably the Chachamim's position is that Tisha B'Av is so much worse because of the things that happened on it, particularly Churban HaBayit.
Right, it's interesting. It's interesting. I think that Rebbe, there's two ways you can understand the formulation of these Taniyos. Okay. So one way is to say that let's use the idea of Yontov. I think Yontov and the Shlosh Regalim is a perfect analogy. I love analogies. So let's look at our precedents. So let's look at Yontov. Okay. Now, if I asked you, is there any difference between the halachic structure of Yontov on Pesach versus Sukkot versus Shavuos, what would you say?
No difference.
No difference, right? There's no difference insofar as what the core halachic structure of Yontov is. There's no difference between them, right? Insofar as what Yontov is, okay? On the other hand, though, they are different. How are they different?
The way they have different karbanot.
Different karbanos. They have a musaf. They all have a musaf, but okay, it's true, different musaf.
Yes.
And you argue there's an Isra Chametz on Pesach, there's mitzvahs on Sukkot, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So you have a fascinating duality that takes place in every Yom Tov. You have this idea that on the one hand, they're all yontiv, so really they're alike, right? They're generic yontivs. On the other hand, you have this specific, let's say, expression of let's say, mitzvos or whatever that might be, that reflects a unique character of the day. So you have, so in other words, how did God build yontiv? Or so Pesach, let's say, there's first the foundation of yontiv, and then on top of that, you superimpose the specific ideas of Pesach. Now the question is, what does that do to the yom itself? So do we say that really it's yontiv, but with additional, let's say, mitzvos because it's Pesach, or does Pesach come along and in a sense give the whole idea of yontiv its own unique expression? You understand what I mean? There's two logical ways to approach it, okay? So why am I saying that? Because maybe that's the machlokas here. In other words, maybe Rebbe held that Tisha B'Av, right, is really no different intrinsically than Yud Zayin Tammuz, right? They all have the same halachic structure of Tainus. Okay, so let's say 1 year you decide to be machmir and add these other stringencies of whatever, you know, sunamat sekas, blah, 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 blah. That's nice. But at the end of the day, you're going to run into a problem. Because if we continue to celebrate Tisha B'Av in such a way, that means people will see Tisha B'Av as an intrinsically or qualitatively different Tainus than the other ones. But it's not. It's no different than the other ones. It's so masiri. So halakhically speaking, it could be what Rebbe wanted to do was Rebbe wanted to ensure that the halakhic structure of Tisha B'Av remain intact, meaning we have no right to go ahead and create like a new Tainus, because that's how you would relate to Tisha B'Av. You would see Tisha B'Av as a distinct type of Tainus from the other fast days, but it's not. It's exactly the same as the other fast days. So maybe that's what's pushing Rebbe to be want to ochre Tisha B'Av, because he's saying, I understand at times in the temple, people want to be machmir, that's fine. But in our era, right, in the era of Ratzu, whatever it is, why should we be celebrating or commemorating Tisha B'Av in such a manner? It would distort the idea of Tainus. There is no idea that one Tainus should have more halakhic expression than another. The Navi never makes such an allusion to such a thing. Maybe that's what Rebbe's position was. Whereas the Chachamim come along and say, no, 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 they don't read it that way. They read each tzom as its own unique halachic tzom. So therefore, you have the right to go ahead on each tzom, and depending on the historical event, change or add or maneuver as you see fit, the halachic expression of said yom. Just like the Machlokas by Pesach and Yontov, I think it's the same thing here. In other words, do we see the forced tzomos as a unit, meaning its idea of tainus, and now the historicity is secondary? Or do we say no? Do we say that the historical event forces us to reconsider how to celebrate the tainus itself? And each tainus is its own unique halachic structure. I would argue that Rebbe is a very sensible position, because it fits much smoother into the Navi than the Rabbanan's position. That might be the basis of the machlokas. If that's true, everything will play out according to that. Yes, Ellie.
You didn't raise your hand. I was trying to put you around Tosfos's at least second problem, because I don't get his first problem anyway. But don't you still need Gadol B'Chachamim to uproot the, I guess I'd say the Takana of doing it on that specific
Okay, way? So that's the thing. So I don't, okay, excellent question. It's a good question. It's not critical, but it's a good question, because I'll explain to you why. In other words, see, I don't think, what's he talking about being Mevatel Beis Din? There was never a Sanhedrin edict to have a day of Tisha B'Av. Again, let's be clear. Okay, let's be clear. Okay. As we know in halakha, can the Rabbanan create a halakhic yom?
Sure.
Really? What's a halakhic yom?
I don't know if they have. Who said they could?
They can't. They can't. There's one Havmin in the Gemara Megillah that suggests they might be able to, but it's rejected. They never create a Kedusha Sayyom. Can the Chachamim create a Kedusha Sayyom? The answer is no. Only the Torah creates an actual yom, right? But what they can do is they can say on this day, for instance, let's say Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, there's an Isser Hespevatinus, right? There's a prohibition, right?
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that the day itself is removed from the rest of the days of the calendar, because there's no Isser Malacha. And as long as there's no Isser Malacha.
Like, what is the parameters of that?
Isser Malacha. Isser Malacha.
Isn't there like some sort of Isser Malacha by Hanukkah? Or like some idea of it?
Yeah, there's a philosophical idea, but there's no Isser. There's no actual
And also, don't the Rabbanan determine like when Rosh Chodesh is? Oh, never mind. That's Sanhedrin. Never mind.
Also Doraisa. So I'm saying, if you look, and what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is simple, because, for instance, take, what do you call it? Avelis. right? So Avila still continues on Purim and Hanukkah, but it doesn't on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a separate day. It stands apart in the calendar.
Didn't they try that with Purim?
Yeah, I just said there's a half meter by Purim. There's one Amora said, maybe we'll make an Esther Malach on Purim, but it's rejected. Okay? They never do it. They don't do it. I don't think so, Elliot, I don't think that what he's talking about Mevatel Beis Din is not that they made Tisha B'Av into a Yom. Rather, they decided to go ahead and say that they removed Ratzu from Tisha B'Av. You understand? In other words, that's what he's arguing on. He's saying there's no way Rebbe can go ahead and remove that. Yeah.
According to you, at least for all the ones we have, they have never made a Yom. So this would be the same as uprooting Chanukah or Purim. You need Gadol B'Chachma Minyan. Why is it like, because not a Yom any less of a Takana by Sanhedrin?
No, it's not. I'm just saying, I don't think they made a Yom of Tisha B'Av. I think the Takana is that we're going to go, or again, it's a good question what actually took place, but according to Tosfos, I think the Takana was removing Ratzu. The Ratzu is removed.
Can they not make a Takana that makes Malachot Aser on a day? Is functionally making Kedusha Seyom? Why not?
They don't. I don't know, but they don't. They never have. There's one Hamid. I'm not sure if they can do that. I'm not sure because that would be creating a distinct yom in the calendar. And I don't think the Sanhedrin ever gave themselves the ability to do such a thing. They never actually. Wouldn't it be easier for them to say Chanukah is an Isra Malacha? Let's say whatever, the first and last day, or Purim is an Isra Malacha. They don't do that though. They never do that. They say things, if you do malacha, you don't see a simon bracha. It's what do you call it? You won't get bracha from that fine. Well, that's irrelevant. I'm just saying there's no halakhic idea of a Yom Shel Chanukah. In fact, by the way, as a great raya for people who did this sugya years ago, that's why you don't light Ner Chanukah the first night of Chanukah. You light Ner Chanukah, right, after Shkia. So it's not even the halakhic Yom yet of Chanukah. That's not a din in the Yom. It's saying during this period of time, you have to have candles lit every day, or Purim. On this day, you read a Megillah, and you know, there's Isra Hasmatanis. There's no Isra Malacha. There's no actual expression of a Kedusha Seyom. But whatever, we're getting off topic though. The main point though is that, yeah, sorry, Elliot.
Some Sanhedrin at some point said to fast on the 9th of Av, and someone is undoing that.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What they said was that the Sanhedrin said a long time ago, right, that we're going to take these four Tzumos, right, and we're going to give days. We're going to pick days for them. And then, since there could be the Sasson and Simcha, we're going to say that Ratzu ain't a Ratzu. If it's a time of Shalom, it's Sasson and Simcha. That's what they learned out. That's the only thing they did. The only question by Tisha B'Av is that did Beis Din come along and say the Ratzu aspect has been, removed?
Oh, so you're saying, according to Rebbe, it's like we still normally keep it at Tisha B'Av, it's just been Ratzu'd, even though normally you can't do that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
In other words, a new fast day, Tisha B'Av 2.
Right. Exactly. And by the way, one other point, just getting a little deeper here.
What happened to Tisha B'Av not being able to be Ratzu'd?
What do you mean? According to Rebbe, that's Rebbe's argument. Rebbe's saying that Rebbe's problem is that Tisha B'Av has to have the same exact halakha kol hashem as the other fast days. So it has to be a Ratzu. It can't lose the kol hashem. He's saying we could be Machmir.
According to Rebbe, if they didn't, establish the second day, they never got to establish the 10th. And now we're in, times of Shalom. Tisha B'Av is out, just like all the other three?
Yes, in the Havamina. Yes, correct.
Well, not even in the Havamina, according to Rebbe.
No, because the Gemara's Maskana is that Rebbe wasn't Okra Lagamre. Rather, he just said, that's a good proof of what I'm saying. Rather, he just said that one year we won't celebrate on Shabbos. See, that's a good proof of what I'm saying. Because Rebbe held, he's saying, you're right. We can't be Okra Lagamre, okay, in that version of learning. We can't get rid of it in its entirety. But we can't, but at the very least, we have to have some demonstration that this tinus is no different than other tinios. So what would that one tiny thing be? That if it falls on a Shabbos, you don't keep it. Because at least halakhically speaking, it's true, it may not be very practical, but halakhically speaking, the reality that Tisha B'Av wouldn't be celebrated the one year it comes on a Shabbos demonstrates, ultimately, that it is like the other Taniyos. He was looking for one thing, one thread to hold on to. So that would be an adequate halachic expression. Okay? Now, by the way, one other point because I got to go soon. So the Ritva's, why does the Ritva come in and say that according to Tosfos suggests that Rebbe wanted to move it to the 10th or the 11th? The Gemara never says the 11th, right? And then what's Tosfos' answer to that, right? So I would say like this. It's interesting. So in other words, why would it be considered oka legamre to move the date? Let's start with that. According to, let's say, Tosfos. The Riff is reading a Tosfos. Because if according to Tosfos, right, the idea is that the day itself has a unique character, again, Tosfos is saying, and Tosfos' way of learning the Gemara, meaning he's going to go with the side that, no, each Tinus is really different. And now he's going to say that Tisha B'Av actually has its own unique, so to speak, fast day. So then how could Rebbe ever move it to any different day? That's Oka Legamre. But I would argue otherwise. Barring from the Yerushalmi, I would say that since both the 9th and the 10th are adequate expressions of the Chorban, right? Because the Gemara in Yerushalmi clearly indicates that that's the case. And even the Bavli says so. I would argue that maybe Tosfos is saying that this is just like Purim. Just like Purim. How's it just like Purim? Because we see what? We see that both the 14th and the 15th are both adequate halachic expressions of Purim, right? The 14th is the day, I don't care if you want to take the Ramban on the run. The 14th is the day that, most of the Jews were saved. The 15th was Shushan, the Ikar Nes by Shushan, right? So what you see there is that both days have the ability to express the reality of Purim. So maybe you could argue that Tosfos is very careful when he says the 10th, he meant that. Because for Rebbe to be moving from the 9th to the 10th would not be Oka Legamre. Because I would argue both exist in the abstract as appropriate expressions of Tisha B'Av. You know what I mean? It would not be Oka Legamre to move it to the 10th if the 10th already exists as a Yom that could have the expression of Tisha B'Av. That would be his answer back to the Ritva. You know what I mean?
And that's why the Ritva has to say 10th or 11th.
Right, because he's saying no. He's saying that once you go away from, once a day's Koveya, that's it. In other words, you can't change it. Any day, any change in the day, by definition, would not be Tisha B'Av anymore. But maybe Tosfos is the Chiddush to say that each day actually has an expression already. The 10th of Av does have a reality of Chorban attached to it. You could fast on the 10th of Av. You know what I mean? Now, you could ask an excellent question. I don't know the answer to this. Why did Rebbe want to move it to the 10th? In that learning of the Gemara. It's an excellent question, right? I have no idea. The Gemara never says so.
Oh, wait, just this answer that you're saying Tosfos isn't like super theoretical, because Tosfos, one of his answers is maybe he just wanted to do the 10th, right?
No, I know. But the Riff comes along and says that he wanted to move it to the 10th or the 11th. And he says that can't be, because that'd be Oka Legamre. So I'm answering that question.
Because Tosfos explicitly holds moving to the 10th is not Oka Legamre. That's not a theory.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the Riff is saying, how could Tosfos say that? I'm defending Tosfos. I'm saying Tosfos could say that because he holds both the 9th and the 10th are adequate expressions. But you also see in Tosfos' first answer, it fits in very nicely with what we're saying. Because what did Rebbe want to do? By removing the chumras of Tisha B'Av, what does that now do to Tisha B'Av? It brings it back into that unit of Tinus. You know what I mean? That's where it belongs. It shouldn't be considered a separate type of Tinus. That's why he wanted to remove the chumras. It makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? So I know there's a few more points, but just circling back to the original point. It's a very interesting idea because these things get very messy. But at the end of the day, it's interesting that first of all, it's very weird the practice today among many Ashkenazim is they learn that on the 10th, the temple was still burning. That's a huge misconception. Because according to the Gemara, that's when the actual burning took place, right? And it seems like that the way the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chacham really was about how to formulate the idea of these types of tinus. The Navi is very cryptic. The Navi just gives us these four fast days. That doesn't even tell us when. Now you have an interesting thing. The question is a Navi presenting us a template of tinus, right? Like this is the template of tinus, and now it's just four separate historical expressions, or no? It's saying each one is its own qualitatively different tinus, which by the way, I would argue if that were the case, so according to the Chacham, you could do more chumras on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz or Asar B'Teves. No problem with that. Because each day has its own unique type of terrible tragedy. But I think it's important to keep in mind, so to speak, going to Tisha B'Av, because you see, it's not a slam dunk idea to say that this is the day we should be fasting. You know what I mean? It seems like it's a very, almost like a tortured process to get to the conclusion that we should commemorate Tisha B'Av the way we do today. Any questions? I know that was a lot. Think about it. And there are more questions, I know. I just wanted to get the main point across. By the way, I'll add one other thing. Adi answered the question on Tosos. He turns to eating and drinking. If you eat and drink a Tisha B'Av, you won't see the chum of Yerushalayim. What kind of, how does it buttress his kasha? Because he's turning to like an agadata. He's saying there's no way Rebbe could get rid of Tisha B'Av. How could he suggest such a thing? Anyone who eats and drinks a Tisha B'Av won't see the, what do you call it, the chum of Yerushalayim. How is that a good raya for Akasha? What would you say?
I mean, it could be he's trying to show that Tisha B'Av's different. You don't say this about the other four, the other three. Sorry.
I know, but but notice what it says in there. Like, what makes it different? Like, what's Tosos banking his Akasha on? That's why he goes to this one first and not the Bezen one.
Well, it could be that this, maybe I'm wrong, but this is in the context of we always keep this and it doesn't get rutsed. Then that's a good raya.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not brought in. It's brought in by the Gemara as like an agadic afterthought after all the halakha stuff. You know what I mean? But what would be the problem? In other words, if according to whatever Tosos might be saying that Rebbe would never consider the possibility of erasing Tisha B'Av from the calendar, making it a Ratzu. Why? What would it do? What would happen if nobody ever commemorated Tisha B'Av?
The Gadita at the very least demonstrates the importance of Tisha B'Av. Like it's not just an afterthought. There's some like objective good to
it. Yeah, but what? It says, but what is that good? It's that you'll see the Nechama of Yerushalayim. So what is that telling us?
That one has to commemorate Churban HaBayit before one can see the rebuilding of the Bayit.
Right. Meaning that, in other words, just like by Pesach, right? We remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day and Kriya Shema and other locations, right? But nonetheless, we need to have one day where we commemorate the actual Exodus. So it seems like what Tosos is saying is that it's impossible for Rebbe to ever suggest that we get rid of Tisha B'Av, not because of the tshuva aspect in itself, but rather as a contrast, meaning that if we don't have a day to commemorate the destruction of the temple, then we can't appreciate the need for the temple. You know what I mean? In other words, that's what Tosos is trying to say. Tosos is trying to say that it's not a halachic argument. It's a philosophical argument. But he's saying that it's absurd to suggest that Rebbe would ever ochre it because in doing so, he'd remove the ability for us to go ahead and bring about the geula. In other words, it's like commemorating the Chorban as a day during the year is like the counterbalance, so to speak, to the future rebuilding. As the Medrash says, ein bechia, ein geula b'li bechia. Right? You can never have a redemption without crying because you need to know what you've lost and understand what you gained. Some idea like that. That could be why Tosos is banking on that, because he's saying for Rebbe to suggest such a thing would mean that Rebbe is essentially saying that, you know, the base of Mikdash won't be rebuilt. You know what I mean? We need it. We need this present in order to bring about the rebuilding of the temple as a possibility. Anyway, stuff to think about. All right, Shkoyach, guys. Have a good Tisha B'Av. I know what you're supposed to say. What's the proper easy fast?
Happy Tisha B'Av to you, too.
Right, meaningful fast, meaningful.
Not come from the papers this year.
Let it be a great catalyst for tshuva. How about that?
I think what you mean is see you next week.
What's that again?
So I think we mean to see you next week at 10 o'clock.
I need to survive Tisha B'Av first.
May the kino stay in the center this year.
Yes. You're not obligated to say kino, so don't worry. No one's forcing you to. Don't do it out of guilt. No one's forcing you to say them, okay? Take care, guys.
May this be our last.
Oh, there you go.
Tisha B'Av of morning.
We want Sustam V'Simcha, baby. Good. Be well, guys.